Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Football Full Circle on a Thursday in April, just 2 weeks away now, is exactly 2 weeks away from the 2022 NFL Draft. In Las Vegas, the Jacksonville Jaguars are on the clock. 2 weeks from tonight, the first round of the 2022 NFL Draft. Plenty to get to from an odds component as we look at how the NFL Draft shakes out and stacks up right now. We'll do that on a Thursday here on Football Full Circle on Sirius XM Channel 159 Sports Grid Radio. I am Ben Stevens. Of course, joined by who other but Joe Lisi, the man with a plan. Sports Grid's college football analyst and pro football extraordinaire. Joe Lisi, great to be with you yet again on a Thursday here on FFC.
Oh, we're just warming up, Ben. This is what it's all about, heading into the weekend, right? We got USFL football to whet the palate a little bit, 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. We're going to start to see teams jockey for position. This is what it's all about, baby. I'm chomping at the bit, Ben.
Joe, it is incredible times, even in April, for football. And as you and I are two college football guys, two college football sympathizers, and maybe some of us would call one another an expert, we want to talk about college football anytime we can. And dominating a lot of the headlines in the football world yesterday, of course, Alabama's head coach, Nick Saban, talking about NIL, name, image, and likeness, and its effect on collegiate athletics. Nick Saban saying this in an interview with the Associated Press recently here, Joe, that NIL creates a situation where you can basically buy players. This a quote from Nick Saban. Quote, that creates a situation where you can basically buy players. You can do it in recruiting. I mean, if that's what we want college football to be, I don't know. End quote from Nick Saban. What'd you make of the old skipper's comments about NIL, Joe?
Pretty ironic, isn't it, Ben? Didn't Bryce Young get about 1.6 in terms of NIL money last year in Tuscaloosa for the Alabama Crimson Tide? But I agree with Nick Saban to a degree, all right? This has been going on for a long time under the table. You can go back to the days of SMU with Craig James and Eric Dickerson in terms of that, right? We know players have been paid by boosters in some ways, even the situation with Tennessee in terms of the bag of cash with McDonald's under Jeremy Pruitt. The problem that I have in terms of the NIL money is I do believe that it needs to be tied to the tenure of the school. And what I mean by that is, like, Anthony Richardson got a free Dodge every 6 to 9 months from a Jacksonville car dealership in terms of obviously playing for the Florida Gators, right? We saw De'Ara King take about $600,000 in NIL money. JT Daniels, after the win at Georgia against Clemson, takes $600,000. Never plays again, and all of a sudden now just transfers to the University of West Virginia, right? That's the problem. Quinn Ewers as well takes $1 million before he even comes on campus in Columbus, and now all of a sudden he's with Texas. So I do feel that if a business or an organization and or entity is going to pay these kids for name, image, and likeness, that's fine, but it has to be tied to a two-year, let's say, eligibility at the school, or a four-year deal. Every year they get a specific amount. It can't be where you give the money based off them playing at a specific university, and then all of a sudden they take the money in bulk for greener pastures.
I mean, when you look at Quinn Ewers, he left high school early because he knew he could make over $1 million with all that he brings from an influence standpoint. And then he commits to Ohio State. He doesn't play a snap at Ohio State. And then he goes to Texas, the place he originally committed, now under Steve Sarkisian. It was a wonderful use of the bag there from an NIL standpoint. But I agree with your point there, Joe. There is going to be continued regulation on NIL. The NCAA has often they do, failed to have any implementations in place before this became a legalized process. And there is no federal law when it comes to NIL. And Mark Emmert, the head of the NCAA, has asked for that to be the case instead of taking the onus on himself. So there will be further regulations to NIL in the years to come, to the transfer portal in some of these big bugaboos that go within college sports right now. There will be further regulations, but I'm a believer in the free market. I believe that for these kids to profit on their name, image, and likeness at the most profitable time, perhaps, of their entire lives, they should be able to do so, because the free market allows coaches to leave whenever. It allows universities to profit off of these individuals. It's the same thing just for collegiate athletics. So I don't mind NIL in general. There will be further regulations and standards that come, and I think that's probably good to even out this process. But the ironic part here, Joe, is Nick Saban's statements on it, because you mentioned the seven-figure deal that Bryce Young received that Nick Saban and SEC Media Days last summer said was a great thing for his quarterback, who wound up winning the Heisman Trophy a season ago. It's almost Nick Saban pointing and saying, whose fault is this? Oh, let's make sure Alabama reaps in the rewards. We'll continue this discussion here on the other side of the break, Joe, but my final point being, anytime Nick Saban looks at something in college football that he considers to be new or nuanced, he is going to make sure he uses it to his advantage to kick your sweep behind, because that is what Nick Saban does at each and every juncture of his coaching career. So if he thinks NIL is where college football is going to go, even if he doesn't want that to be the case, he is going to utilize it to Alabama's best advantage. And believe me, folks, there will be some donors in Tuscaloosa that shell out some cash to make sure Alabama can benefit from name, image, and likeness. We'll talk about that more on the other side of the break while looking at the odds for next year in college football up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Back right here on Football Full Circle on this Thursday, Sports Grid Radio and Sirius XM Channel 159. I am Ben Stevens. He is Joe Lisi. And Nick Saban might be scared about the direction that NIL is shaping out for college football, but fret you not, folks. Bama will be a part of the tide. Pun very much intended. Nick Saban has learned to adjust throughout his years in college football. That is why he is the most dominant head coach in that sport. Potentially, you could make an argument in the history of all sports, college or professional. So, Joe, he will make his adjustments based on NIL. He already has, as we know, with Bryce Young last year, garnering a deal north of seven figures. So the best players playing in an Alabama jersey will certainly see good NIL deals, and Nick Saban will control that part of the college football landscape just as he has controlled much of the college football landscape for the last two decades.
Oh, without a doubt. All he does is reload, Ben, and we know that. On the offensive and defensive sides of the ball, I mean, we're talking about a coach that not only cultivates the defensive side of the talent and the units, it's now the offense. Remember, you know, during his early days in Tuscaloosa when he won the national championships in 2009 and 2011, it was based off the defense, right? Ever since Tua, he's evolved at the quarterback position. Think about some of the journeymen that he's won national championships. Blake Sims, Jay Coker, right? TJ McCarron. I mean, the list goes on and on in terms of great game manager quarterbacks. And then all of a sudden to develop the quarterbacks over the last couple of years, Tua, a first-round talent, Mac Jones, a first-round talent, and now Heisman Trophy winner Bryce Young. They're going to get talent on both sides of the ball, top five talent, to just reload. But it's the biggest thing, too, Ben, in what Nick Saban does. He's built a dynasty, right? right? It's one thing to get the talent. It's another thing to coach it up, right? And we saw that with Clemson last year, where we saw a little chink in the armor, where they weren't as dominant as they were on both sides of the ball. The quarterback position fell off a little bit. That's where Nick Saban, it's ingrained in the players from the time they walk on campus in Tuscaloosa. You want to win championships. This is what you need to do to get there. And everybody buys in, from not just the players, but the staff as well, when we look at the turnovers in terms of the offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator positions over the past 5 or 6 years.
It's a wonderful point, and I'm glad you brought this up, Joe Lisi, because this is why you are the best, and we can focus on those offensive coordinators. Lane Kiffin, Steve Sarkisian, now Bill O'Brien, and the change in mentality for Nick Saban, because a lot of people made these parallels yesterday after Nick Saban's NIL comments and the last time he questioned the direction of something for the future of college football. That was back in the late 2000s, 2008, 2009. Joe mentioned it. They won a national championship in 09 with a style of play known as murder ball. That was the 9-6 year against LSU, one of the greatest college football games we have ever seen. They were going to pound the rock with guys like Mark Ingram and then Derrick Henry, and they were going to be so elite defensively. If you scored 2 touchdowns against them, that was your best offensive day of the year. And back in 2000, Nick Saban made a comment about the direction of college football and the no-huddle offense, Joe Lisi. And he was like, is this what we want college football to be? To have these rules and stipulations that move away from my style of play? Well, then Nick Saban adapted and won another national championship in 2015 and another national title in 2017 and one more just 2 seasons ago in 2020 with the second highest scoring offense in the country, only behind the Zips of, the Golden Flashes of Kent State. So Alabama is going to be just fine. And every adjustment that Nick Saban makes, he makes it with a purpose. That is why he is a 7-time national champion, 6 of those national championships coming during his tenure in Tuscaloosa. And Joe Lisi, if we look at the early odds available for this upcoming college football season, where is Alabama? Well, they are at the top of the board. The favorites to win another national championship, Joe, with an incredibly short number for a time in April at +200. Alabama is a favorite by themselves at +200, Joe, over $1.50 ahead of where the reigning national champs, Georgia, who beat Alabama in last year's national title game, sit at +350. The reign of dominance for Nick Saban will continue in 2022. At least that is what the odds have to say.
Oh, without a doubt. And when you just look at what Bryce Young was able to do against that Georgia defense in the first meeting in terms of the SEC championship game, ripping them for over 400 yards, multiple touchdowns, those playmakers, Jameson Williams and John Metchie, just tore that secondary up. Obviously a different scenario in the national championship game, but that was prior. Let's not forget, you know, Jameson Williams doesn't go down in the first half of that matchup. Maybe it's a different outcome for Nick Saban in Alabama. So even though Georgia won, and granted that was a dominant defensive effort by Kirby Smart and the crew, how do they handle the attrition? That's the biggest thing, right? We've seen Nick Saban and send players, multiple players, to the NFL and reload. Well, now you're losing Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean. You're losing Walker at the defensive end position. You're losing Quay Walker as well. I mean, multiple players move on to the NFL. And let's not forget, on the offensive side of the ball, Cook, you lose George Pickens at the wide receiver position, both running backs. How does Georgia respond? That's the biggest thing. Alabama, they're used to it. They're immune. How do the Bulldogs bounce back in a big way? Is there a hangover effect? And I think that's what we need to monitor. I'm not so quick to jump on Georgia, and I'm a Bulldog fan, Ben, at +350 because of those concerns. They won their first national championship in 40-plus years, and now we have to take a wait-and-see approach, especially now with JT Daniels moving on to West Virginia. There is no backup plan for Stetson Bennett this year.
Absolutely so, Joe, and it's a great point, right? UGA winning that first national championship since the 1980 season. But it was the idea, could Kirby Smart finally get past his boss in Nick Saban? Could he make that next leap? Could Georgia finally undo the heartbreak against Alabama? They did, and now what does that mean for the future? But Joe, right after that national championship game, on the Tuesday following when these odds for this upcoming season opened up, Georgia and Alabama were co-favorites around plus 200. Bama has stayed at that price. The odds have worked against UGA. That should tell you that the betting markets, and rightfully so, because who are we to question the odds makers or their analytics or Nick Saban himself to think that Alabama cannot win another national championship. But Joe, as we peruse this odds board, Alabama the favorites, 2-1. Georgia, $1.50 behind with the second best price, plus 350. Ohio State, plus 500, the fourth best odds. Clemson rounds out the top four at 10-1. Some of the very familiar programs being featured in the college football playoff. But the next team I would like to discuss, with the best recruiting class we have ever seen this past season, heading to College Station, Texas A&M, the fifth best odds at 30-1. Is there value on Jimbo Fisher and the Aggies?
Oh, I think there is. And you know, 18.5 point underdog at home with Zach Calzada, you knock off Bryce Young on a Saturday night. That's all you need to know. They get Max Johnson, the transfer LSU quarterback. I think he'll battle it out with Haynes King, but he's going to be there. He gives them an added dimension. The fact that he knocks off A&M last regular season game to get LSU bowl eligible, and then he bolts for College Station with Jimbo. So 30-1, they're going to need to build up the defensive side of the ball. They lose Isaiah Spiller, that'll hurt, but they have value there, like A&M, and I also like Brian Kelly. I'll roll the dice with 150-1, baby, in year number one. Why not with the LSU Tigers?
And that number could come down very, very quickly. There's tons of value on this board. We know how frequent and how chalk the college football playoff tends to be when you look at teams like Ohio State and Clemson, and of course, Alabama and Georgia in the mix as well. Where will Notre Dame be in their first year under Marcus Freeman? Where might USC be on their first year under Lincoln Riley in Southern California? We'll look at some value plays in numbers to keep an eye on the other side of the break before transitioning into the NFL draft. Stay with us here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Football Full Circle on a Thursday, April 14th, rolls on right here, right now. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 159. It's Ben Stevens and Joe Lisi here with you on this Thursday, 2 weeks exactly out from the start of the opening round of the 2022 NFL Draft. We'll look at some draft odds here in just a couple of minutes. But Joe, we're having some fun chopping it up based on next year's college football season and where some value play might be on the board. Because as we started out the show with today, Nick Saban made some comments about NIL, but they should not affect Alabama this year, booked as the favorites on FanDuel with a short number at plus 200 to win national championship number 7 during the Nick Saban era. But let's go through the value. You brought up LSU, and you remember the price earlier this offseason, just about 2 months ago, 150-1. Joe Lisi, where is it now on the FanDuel Sportsbook?
70-1. And that's about right, because let's not forget, they get transfer from Arizona State quarterback Jaden Daniels, potentially one of the best quarterbacks entering the season last year, didn't live up to expectations with Herm Edwards and the crew. They lost a ball game against Wisconsin, only had about 11 touchdowns, but they also get senior quarterback Miles Brennan back. They also get back two potentially of the best two duos in terms of the wide receiver position in Kayshon Boutte and Jeray Jenkins. So they're going to have Ben, playmakers on the perimeter to give those quarterbacks weapons, right? And we know that LSU is just like Alabama in terms of the interior. They recruit the big uglies, offense and defensive linemen. They get top five talent. Now, can Brian Kelly take this team and elevate this team from an X's and O standpoint above where Eddie O had it just a couple of seasons ago? So I think they can. And now when you saw it at $1.50, I was like, there's no way LSU should be there with the likes of, let's say, some of the other teams. Kentucky, you're going to put Kentucky and LSU on the same level, even though Mark Stoops has elevated that program? No way in terms of the talent in Baton Rouge.
Completely agree, Joe, and that's why we're seeing that reflected in the odds right now. It's all about family down there in the bayou for Brian Kelly in his first year. His former football team, Notre Dame, $10 behind that price at 80-1. Ed Ogeron was on campus in South Bend, getting the boys fired up for the Fighting Irish this year. Also, Joe, some other spots with some new faces in new places. USC, of course, under Lincoln Riley's direction now, 40-1 on the FanDuel Sports. Book tied for the sixth best odds with who? Oh, yeah, that'd be his former school in Oklahoma. Boomer Sooner, not too fond of Southern California and Mr. Lincoln Riley. But Brent Venables, now the head coach in Norman, the longtime defensive coordinator under Dabo Sweeney in Clemson, South Carolina. Brent Venables also a former DC under Bob Stoops, at Oklahoma. Both of their prices, Joe, 40-1. What do you make of the value on either the Trojans or the Sooners?
Yeah, well, there's value in the sense of they're the front runners for the Big 12 and the Pac-12, respectively. Yeah. That's why they hold value, is because clearly they out-recruit everybody in terms of those potential conferences. Obviously, Oklahoma's done it with Lincoln Riley. Now he's over there and took his quarterback, right, from USC. Now, when you just look at Oklahoma, Ben, the biggest thing is they get Dylan Gabriel, the transfer from UCF. Can he elevate the program? Brent Venables, known as a defensive-minded coach, but let's not forget, built the program with Dabo Sweeney for 8 years at Clemson in Death Valley. He understands what it takes to win national championships. So I actually think Oklahoma might get an upgrade. You know, as good as Lincoln Riley was in terms of the offensive perspective, Alex Grinch and that defense couldn't take it to elite status in Norman. The last guy to do it was Bob Stoops and Brent Venables. So I like Oklahoma at 40-1 in terms of value. USC, I have concerns, right? Caleb Williams, a dynamic talent, but where has the defense been under Lincoln Riley in recent years in a big spot in or for Oklahoma? Big games, he seems to get outcoached, a la Dave Aranda a couple years ago, and even when they faced off against Alabama, got a deer in the headlights, 28-0 in the first half. So it'll be easier in the Pac-12, but that's what USC is, right? Can you win a big game from a defensive aspect? That's what remains to be seen for the Trojans this year.
And Joe, there were so many reports for that Trojans football program toward the end of this year that even under Lincoln Riley, the roster turnover and how depleted they were from the standard of where USC had been to really being a true even conference championship contender, let alone national championship contender. Yes, Lincoln Riley was going to bring players over from Oklahoma. Yes, Caleb Williams most likely was destined for a trip to Southern Cal as well, but it's still a little bit away. The recruiting classes are going to pick up. USC will become that national brand again. But this year, in 2022, I think I'm looking to fade the Trojans. And when those conference odds come out, well, let's take a look at some other teams in the Pac-12. As we look at some other teams right now as well from the Big Ten, of course, we showed you Ohio State, the third best price at plus 500. C.J. Stroud back as their quarterback. Ryan Day, the offensive mastermind, of course, is orchestrating things. And Jackson Smith and Jigba setting a college football bowl game record with over 340 receiving yards in that Rose Bowl and the victory for Ohio State over Utah. He's back as well. Keep an eye on his price to win a Heisman Trophy as we get going here in the college football season. But a couple of other teams from the Big Ten, Joe. Michigan checks in with a 50-1 price to win a national championship. The seventh best odds. Wisconsin tied for the eighth best odds at 60-1. But according to ESPN FPI, Joe, the football power index that says, based on the analytics, the metrics, what most likely outcomes are, Nebraska as of today. Yes, your Nebraska Cornhuskers and mine have won another offseason national championship because Nebraska is predicted with the best percentages right now to win the Big Ten West. 29.2% is where Nebraska stands. 0.3 percentage points better, Joe, than Wisconsin at 28.9%. The offseason hype train always runs deep in Lincoln, Nebraska, but when you try to find the Cornhuskers' price to win a national championship, you got to scroll down the FanDuel Sportsbook. A good way to see it, it's 250-1 along the side of Virginia and Cal and TCU and Louisville and Indiana. That's where Nebraska checks in with the odds makers, but FPI says something pretty different.
It does. Now, I'll give Scott Frost his due. He did transform that defense to a degree. They are much more physical in terms of the front seven, especially in run support. And I'll say this, he gets Casey Thompson, the transfer from Texas, potentially his best quarterback, ever, or the best quarterback in Lincoln since the last maybe 10 or 15 years, right? I mean, think about it.
Right.
Zach Martinez, Adrian Martinez. I mean, the list goes on and on in terms of just the pedestrian signal callers. So I think Casey Thompson brings an added dimension. I love what the front seven has done. Can they take the next step in? Can they be there in terms of third down defense, in terms of top 25? If they can and they can be opportunistic and force turnovers, this has got to be the year. If not this year, then you know what? Scott Frost is not going to be in Lincoln next year. And I'm not saying national championship. I wouldn't take a flyer 250-1, but this has got to be the year they turn the corner. 8-4, 7-5 is not acceptable in Lincoln. 8-4 or 9-3 are bust for Scott Frost and the crew. I like their odds. I like their over win total this year. This has got to be it. It's do or die for Scott Frost and the crew.
Absolutely so. Returning for his fifth year in Lincoln, and he was very much on the hot seat at the end of last year, retooling his offensive coaching staff, bringing in Mark Whipple, the offensive coordinator from Pittsburgh that turned Kenny Pickett into a Heisman finalist, bringing in Mickey Joseph, the former wide receiver coach from LSU, and he has already brought in some transfers from the Bayou, and a man by the name of DeColdis Crawford, the best name in all of college football as well. And Joe, I have this note saved on my phone from November 8th, 2021. It was after Nebraska fell in a game, I am sure, in 9 of their 12 games last year decided by single digits. So it was a point I needed to make about Scott Frost's tenure against the Big Ten. 10-24 at this point on November 8th against the Big Ten overall. Just 6-15 against his own division, the Big Ten West, and still has yet to beat Iowa or Wisconsin during his tenure. So predicted by the ESPN FPI Index to win the Big Ten West, it would be a strong change of pace from where Nebraska has been so far in the 4 years under their prodigal son, Scott Frost, who led the Cornhuskers to their last national championship in 1997. All right, Joe, not much time left here in this segment, but we'll dive into it on the other side of the break, talking about some NFL draft odds only 2 weeks away now. 2 weeks from this very day, a Thursday evening out in the desert in Las Vegas. Round number one of the NFL draft will be getting underway with the Jacksonville Jaguars on the clock. And Joe, we had this discussion yesterday. The odds have yet to move, but the steam is picking up behind Trayvon Walker. Plus 350, the second best price to be the number one overall pick. Aiden Hutchinson minus 250, the heavy odds on favorite to go number one overall to Jacksonville. Over these next 2 weeks, Joe, what are you going to be looking for, either from an odds movement perspective or a reports perspective to give you some credence heading into the NFL draft?
I'm going to be looking into some reports about if we're going to see any of the quarterbacks on the move, because I think Baker Mayfield could be a potential wild card into throwing this NFL draft in flux. And I'm going to keep an eye out on what I'm hearing about reports, because I'm big on Matt Corral potentially surprising everybody in the top 10 this year.
I think it's a very interesting point to pay attention to, certainly, Joe. Matt Corral to be the first quarterback selected. Pretty long odds at the moment. Malik Willis is the odds on favorite. And we can touch on Baker Mayfield on the other side of the break and what it might mean for the NFL draft order as well. Stay right here, Football Full Circle on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
So two conversations to be had right here, right now on Football Full Circle on this Thursday. It's Ben Stevens and Joe Lisi here alongside with you, 2 weeks out exactly from the day of the 2022 NFL Draft. Thursday, April 14th is today. Thursday, April 28th is the first round of the NFL Draft in Las Vegas, Nevada, 2 weeks from today. So, Joe, you brought up this point right before we hit that commercial break about Baker Mayfield, and Baker made some headlines yesterday on a podcast with the musical artist Mike Studd, who hosts the YNW podcast, about his time coming to a close, it seems, with the Cleveland Browns. Of course, he is not anywhere else new as of yet, but has reiterated his interest to be traded. Of course, Cleveland acquiring Deshaun Watson this offseason in a trade from the Houston Texans. Baker said he felt disrespected by how the process played out with the Browns. He heard one thing and then Cleveland acted in the complete opposite way in terms of his future. He said he wasn't entirely sure. He was at a good place mentally, but if you asked him a week ago, he would have said probably be in Indianapolis by now. If you would have asked him a couple of days ago, maybe Seattle. So we're not entirely sure where Baker Mayfield is going to end up. Wherever Baker Mayfield ends up, I don't think that's going to move the market much, Joe, but what it might affect is some teams' thought process for the NFL draft. Do you think a Baker Mayfield move in the next 2 weeks does have a significant impact on what we might see in Vegas in 2 weeks?
I do in for certain teams. Like, let's say Baker Mayfield goes and challenges Drew Lock in Seattle. Are they going to be in the market potentially for their franchise quarterback, or are they going to roll the dice and give Baker Mayfield an opportunity to win that job and be the quarterback of the future for the next 2 or 3 years, assuming that DK Metcalf is still on the roster in a couple of weeks as well, because he's mentioned he wants out of town as well because of Russ moving on to greener pastures in that situation in Denver. So I do feel that way. And I always said this, that, you know, with the Deshaun Watson trade with Houston, if I'm Cleveland and I was Houston, why didn't I make a role for Baker Mayfield? I'm not saying he's a great quarterback, but he still is an upgrade of where Davis Mills is right here, right now. Let's not forget, started his career at Texas Tech, moved on to Oklahoma. He understands, you know, the region, the fans in Oklahoma and Texas love Baker Mayfield, love him or hate him. You could fill seats with the Houston Texans. I'm not sure why they didn't do that. You know, they're still searching for potentially their franchise quarterback. There would have been no pressure for Baker Mayfield with first-year head coach Lovie Smith. So it all depends on where he goes. If he's the starter or goes to a team that he can challenge to be the top guy and no pressure in terms of expectations, I think he could maybe potentially do well. It's when the pressure's on and the running game's not there that Baker Mayfield fails.
Of course, Indianapolis right now has Matt Ryan, the veteran quarterback, as their starter pegged in for this upcoming year. And Seattle has Drew Lock, it would seem, for the time being, to see if he can find any of the magic that he was drafted for in Denver and hasn't necessarily fulfilled any of that promise just yet. When you look at the markets right now on both Indianapolis and Seattle, much more favorable for Indy. But we'll start with Seattle, Joe. They're over under this year for a team win total is just 5.5. The over has the juice at -130. The NFC West is going to be very, very difficult yet again this season with the reigning Super Bowl champion LA Rams. The Cardinals continue to push, and Kyler Murray will be back as that quarterback, and we'll see exactly what San Francisco presents as well. Indianapolis, though, Joe, although playing in the AFC, they're in the AFC South. that, by comparative standpoint, is the easiest division in that conference. And the Colts are favored to win the AFC South at plus 110, 15 cents ahead of the Tennessee Titans at plus 125. The Jags have the third best price at plus 700, and the Texans are 26-1, the longest odds to win any division in all of football this year. So it goes to show that the AFC South is going to be relatively easy compared to the rest of the AFC, and it presents an opportunity, Joe, as we discussed yesterday, because the divisional winner of this AFC South division gets an automatic berth into the postseason. There is an opportunity for Indy at that favored price.
Yeah, there is. I don't know why they're plus 110. I'll say that. I understand Matt Ryan. You know, you give Matt Ryan time, most likely he is effective. But they don't have a pure number one, right? T.Y. Hilton, Paris Campbell that they had last year. The speed on the outside is the major concern. Love Michael Pittman, but he's a pure number two in my opinion, not an elite number one. They're going to have to draft a top-flanked wide receiver in this draft, a guy that could take the top off opposing defenses to loosen up the front seven to allow Jonathan Taylor and that offensive line to work in terms of the running game. I like Indianapolis, but I have major concerns. Let me ask you, Ben, if I'm teams and I'm looking at Eberflus for a job, and I would ask them first thing, you're a 15.5 point favorite, week number 17, 18 against Jacksonville. What happened to your defense? You allowed Trevor Lawrence, that didn't do absolutely squat for 17 weeks, to rip your defense the last week of the season with a playoff appearance on the line. So tell me this team has major concerns. Again, I like Matt Ryan. I think if you give him time, he could be effective, but you need a complimentary wide receiver for Michael Pittman. I'm not so sure they get there. This is more of a patch, plug and play, what they've done with Phillip Rivers. And last year with Carson Wentz, it didn't work out. There's no guarantee it's going to work out with Matt Ryan. I still think Tennessee is clearly head and shoulders the best team because of that front seven. Three players over eight sacks last year, and Derrick Henry, most dominant running back in the game.
And we certainly saw what that Tennessee front did to the Bengals in that divisional round matchup, despite the fact Cincinnati would eventually win and, of course, win the AFC and get to a Super Bowl. And, Joe, in terms of adding on that help for Indianapolis, they do not have a first-round selection as of right now, so we'll see what they do later on in the draft 2 weeks from today. It starts in the first round, then Friday is rounds 2 and 3, Saturday rounds 4 through 7. I think you bring up an outstanding point as well about the AFC South. Last year, the Tennessee Titans won the division and were the number one overall seed in the AFC postseason picture. So to be 15 cents behind the Colts at the moment, with the same cast and crew pretty much coming back, yes, there's limitations to Tennessee eventually winning a conference championship, but winning their own division, plus 125 might have some value for you. Indianapolis will have a new starter at quarterback each of their openers for the last 6 seasons. At a certain point, consistency is what Indy will be looking for. Matt Ryan will be the day one starter, it seems, for Frank Reich as of right now. Their team win total, 9.5. The over juiced at minus 135. The Titans, the same team win total of 9.5 wins, but under has the juice for Tennessee. So no first round selections for Indianapolis. The Titans draft 26th overall as of right now. But Joe, of course, we focus on the top. Jacksonville number one, Detroit number two, Houston at number three, the Jets 4, the Giants 5. Both New York teams have multiple selections in the top 10. 8 teams, Joe, have multiple selections in this year's first round. So plenty of opportunities to add on to your roster and positional needs. I want to talk to you about the Houston Texans because we spent a lot of time yesterday, Joe Lisi, here on Football Full Circle, talking about number one and number two and the edge rusher conversation and what it would mean for that first overall pick and potentially number two to the Detroit Lions if they are not maybe going to take a big swing on a guy like Malik Willis. You would think, Joe, that the Houston Texans, having traded away Deshaun Watson, going now with second-year quarterback in Davis Mills, that maybe he's not the QB of the future, yet they retain Pep Hamilton as the offensive coordinator there in Houston. And Pep is known as a quarterback guru of sorts, and they love the development they saw late in the year with Davis Mills, and frankly, that stacks up, but not necessarily your franchise quarterback, a third-round selection last year out of Stanford. But Malik Willis to go number three overall to the Texans, Joe, is 14-1. That's the seventh most likely option, according to the odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook. In fact, it looks like the Texans, at least according to the odds, are going to protect their asset in Davis Mills with an offensive tackle. Ike Ekwonu is the favorite, plus 175, the big O tackle out of NC State, $1.25 behind, with the second shortest price to go number three overall to the Texans at the moment, is Evan Neal at plus 300. Joe, what do you believe the Houston Texans will do with that third overall pick?
I would take two flyers. I would take one on Kayvon Thibodeau at 9-1, mm-hmm. and I would take another one at Malik Willis at 14-1, to your point about developing quarterbacks. Is Davis Mills the answer? I don't think he is. Let's not forget, a couple of years ago, 4-2 as a starting quarterback. You know, he took over for K.J. Costello, put up adequate numbers. He's tall, has the physical attributes, but he struggled on the road last year, so that's a major concern. You know, do you really want to go status quo with Davis Mills for the next couple of years, or do you want to get a guy that you could potentially develop like Malik Willis, where there's no pressure in year number one? He could battle it out with Davis Mills. So that's where I would go. Kayvon Thibodeau at 9-1 or Malik Willis at 14-1, because I mentioned losing J.J. Watt. You have an upside in terms of Kayvon Thibodeau, Lovie Smith, defensive-minded coach. I think there's a correlation there where they could take him and develop that defense into maybe getting a top 15 caliber defense in 2021-2.
The Texans were very competitive last year. And as we always say, Joe, good teams win, great teams cover. Houston booked as an underdog in 16 of their 17 games, 8-8 against the number. That's profitability, depending on what your handle looks like. The same could be said for the Detroit Lions, the third best cover percentage in the NFL, 11-6 against the spread. Detroit drafts number two overall. Of course, as we mentioned, number three overall, the Houston Texans right now, and the two shortest options, both offensive tackles. Akeem Ekwonu, or Ike Ekwonu as he goes by, out of NC State for the Wolfpack, and Evan Neal out of Alabama. Joe, for Ike Ekwonu to be the first offensive lineman selected, he is the odds-on favorite at FanDuel at minus 150. Evan Neal behind at plus 125. Not a huge gap there, not a huge distinction in price between the two big uglies. I was surprised to see Ike Ekwonu have better odds not only to go number three overall to Houston, but to be the first offensive lineman selected. He performed outstandingly well at the combine, but Evan Neal, Joe, if you've seen him, he stands 6'7", 335. He looks skinnier than most string bean poles, and he wears it so well and is a freak of nature athletically. I was surprised to see the market work against Evan Neal.
Yeah, it's like almost like scouts and GMs are immune to Alabama offense and defense alignment now, right? After they just churn them out. Leatherwood was taken 17th overall by the Las Vegas Raiders last year, and I thought he played well for the most part when he was involved with that offensive line. But you're right. Ekwonu is a player that has developed. Let's not forget NC State under Dave Doran, knocked off Clemson last year, dynamic 9-win season. Devin Leary, his blindside was protected. He's a lefty, right? And let's say, or Bailey Hockman was. Devin Leary's a righty, but Ekwonu protected the both of those quarterbacks over the last couple of years. And the biggest thing as well, in run support and run blocking, they got much better with Bam Knight in person. It was because of Ekwonu at the point of attack. He is lethal. So one of the best offensive tackles over the last couple of seasons, Ben.
In favor to be the first offensive lineman off the board in 2 weeks from now in the 2022 NFL Draft with a minus 150 price. We round out the show on the other side of the break, a Thursday right here on Football Full Circle. Stay with us on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Joe, we'll dive into this tomorrow because we round out a Thursday edition on Football Full Circle in just a couple of minutes. It's Ben Stevens and Joe Lisi here with you for one final segment. But, Joe, I want to say something here. I want to be bold here. I told you yesterday I have a small wager now on Malik Willis at plus 500 to go number two overall to the Detroit Lions. Here's my next bold claim for you, Joe Lisi. Chris Olave will be the first wide receiver selected in the 2022 NFL draft at 16-1 right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook, the fifth best price. Am I crazy, Joe?
No. Because I think a wide receiver could and will be selected number four overall by the New York Jets. All reports are saying Ahmad Gardner. Let's not forget, Jets were in the market for Tyreek Hill. That fell through. Ja'Marr Chase was taken fourth or fifth last year by the Cincinnati Bengals. Who's to say a wide receiver this year doesn't break the top five? I'm going to go Garrett Wilson. You go Chris Olave. We have the market cornered, Ben.
It sounds like we also have a spot in Columbus, Ohio waiting for us if this happens as well because, of course, former teammates with the Ohio State Buckeyes. Garrett Wilson, the favorite to be the first wide receiver selected in the 2022 NFL draft, but it's all plus money, Joe. Plus 110 for Garrett Wilson. Drake London out of USC, the second best price, plus 175. Jameson Williams off the ACL tear in the national championship game is plus 400. With the third best odds, and then Treylon Burks out of Arkansas, who I believe is maybe my favorite player in the draft. Whoever gets him later on in the first round, congratulations. He's plus 800, and then my guy, Chris Olave, at 16-1. Joe Lisi, let's do it again tomorrow on a Friday, huh, here on Football Full Circle.
Oh, can't wait, Ben. We're just getting started. This is what it's all about, our time of the year.
Our time of the year, 2 weeks out exactly from the 2022 NFL draft, and there's some football games to bet on this weekend as well. USFL lines are now posted on the FanDuel Sportsbook. We'll break it all down tomorrow. Football Full Circle, and the money line is next here on SiriusXM Channel 159.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.